You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Chris can't be like every kid I grew up with.
Got him.
Bad style matchup for me.
Got him.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What's going on, guys? Morning.
It's like that 5-12 seed.
Yeah.
March Madness. Like,
yeah.
Tricky.
Bad style.
Tricky.
Kenny Norton. Kenny Norton. Ali beat everyone, but Kenny Norton was a hard situation.
Get him every time.
Don't you? Yeah. What the hell?
What's the matter, kid?
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for my rundown, man. I just got it. Man.
Just leave everything to me. Got you, Keith.
No. I'm not going to leave everything to you because you'll dive right in it.
That's right. So exactly.
I'm trying to. I literally just walked in. Whatever.
Oh. So yesterday, fellows, on a terrific program called This Just In, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN. Tim Legler made an interesting point about Ja Morant, and I don't think it's something enough people have considered until he made this point. So here's the question, and we're going to play that sound for you in a minute, but here's the question. Is Ja being suspended? So he was 8 games altogether. It was really a 2-game suspension. He was away for 6 games. They said time served plus 2 games, and they called it an 8-game suspension. But is it a blessing in disguise for the Grizzlies as they're heading into the playoffs? Here's Taylor Jenkins, that's the Grizzlies head coach, at the press conference yesterday. Listen to him talking about the anticipation that Ja will play.
We anticipate him playing tomorrow. Everything's checking out medically well. You know, we had a light practice today, didn't do a whole lot, but, you know, it's just reintegration process. I think he's excited to be back with the group. Bruce excited to have him back. As I said, it's seamless.
All right, so he's coming back. But what kind of player is he going to come back as? A lot of people have fretted about this. You know, Ja, time away. Is he going to feel himself? Is this going to affect his game? But listen to Tim Legler.
No.
Tim Legler.
One thing that's going to be interesting, and this happened with Steph Curry a year ago, you know, a guard late in the year, I know he brought a lot of this negative attention to himself, and he's you know, been suspended, he's been away from the team. But you know what else he's not doing? He's not putting any wear and tear on his legs at this time of the year. When you come back after a layoff this late in the season, you are revitalized from an energy standpoint. Ja, I think, is going to be the best version we've seen Ja be all year, because I don't think this is going to actually distract him. I don't think it's going to bother him. I think it's going to make him more focused and fresh. When you've got a fresh set of wheels as a basketball player, particularly a point guard, and you come back this late in the year, that could bode well for them.
So, look, I know you guys haven't played an 82-game season. Yo, but seasons are so long. And we're sitting here talking about the Boston Celtics like on a slight game slid, right? And everyone's like, well, what's wrong with them? Like, well, they've been one of the most dominant teams in the league for 70% of the year. It's hard to sustain that level of play. Essentially what Ja has been given – granted, I'm removing all the stuff that's occurred. He's been giving an extended All-Star break. He's had 2 All-Star breaks now. So we talked about last year. He's been load managed to a degree, right? So now it's like, hey, with 10 games left in the season, come back off the bench. He'll probably come off the bench tonight because the Memphis Grizzlies have been playing a high level of basketball. They're 2 in the Western Conference right now. So
without Ja,
come off the bench, be your dynamic self, ease into the system, and this is the best runway to have before. This is the runway you almost wish LeBron James had with the Lakers. This is the runway you wish Kevin Durant had with the Phoenix Suns. Instead of coming back for 2 games, come back with 10 games left and then ramp up for the postseason. It's perfect timing, excluding all the stuff that's happened.
But he ain't coming off injury, Jay.
That's what I'm saying.
He was healthy to begin with.
He's fresh.
Oof.
No, yeah, he for sure has got fresh legs. He's just got to get back into the rhythm. And I'm sure he's probably been playing some sort of shoot around, pick up to some degree. He's not just sitting on the couch eating fried chicken, that's for sure. But having him back in the lineup certainly helps this team out. In the West, I know we look at Denver and we were looking at the Clippers and, you know, Sacramento's cute, and a lot of people are down on Golden State because of the road record in the Lakers because Anthony Davis and LeBron are in and out of the lineup, and they really haven't had the continuity with the new guys as much as people would like. But the West isn't as wide open as most people think because everybody's kind of, to me, the same. Nobody is a clear-cut favorite.
Well, that means it is wide open.
It is wide
that
open.
Means it is
no,
wide
I mean,
open.
That's what I mean. It's wide open because nobody is a clear-cut favorite. Nobody's coming out of this thing thinking, oh, well, the Mavs just got Kyrie. But then they don't play defense. They can score a lot of points.
Lakers what does that look hurt. Like? And now, you know, and Phoenix missing KD this whole time. And they had to give up pieces to get him. And the Warriors have been bad on the run. 100% right. There's no sure thing.
But then again, I always go to, like you would probably sure too, thing. Jay.
They've been struggling recently.
Yeah, but I still think, I think they're going to turn things around. I know they're questioning.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a sure thing. Because what if they get the Lakers in a draw?
I'm with you,
Keith. I would take Denver.
You might take Denver, but you have to admit, Jay, there's reason to think they're not invincible. Like just like the Celtics,
but
were dominant
the one dude,
all year, and then they faltered. They're 5-5 in their last 10. Denver,
Milwaukee's been dominant for most of the year without Chris Middleton.
Yeah, Milwaukee. Okay, in the East, we're talking about the West, though.
Yeah.
So there's no.
But Milwaukee have shown though too in the past, Jay.
That they can win a chip.
Milwaukee have shown that they can still do good without Middleton in the lineup. In the past,
I'm originally the one that talked about like the fact that I see there are flaws in a lot of different teams. Like Denver is still the best team in the Western Conference, and y'all keep calling Sacramento cute. Y'all are sleeping on the Sacramento Kings.
So you think
Kings.
The two ones I think cut the two, above?
I think Sacramento, Memphis, and Denver are live.
So those three.
I think they're live. Sacramento, I think Memphis, people don't watch Memphis. Sacramento. Let's call it what it is. People like De'Aaron Fox. Yo, DeMontis Sabonis is one of the best passers in the game. Davion Mitchell will lock you up. Harrison Barnes has won a championship. Like Keegan Murray is one of the top players that nobody talks about in the league. Yes, they are young, but they are going to be there when it's all said
so
and
wait,
done.
So what are you saying? So it's not wide open because Denver is the clear-cut favorite.
I think it goes Denver. I will have Memphis and Sac in that next bunch.
And then you think
and Phoenix will, because I don't know how. I think KD's going to come back. They'll find their groove offensively. I think Phoenix is in that bucket, obviously. But I need to see how KD comes back.
I think the Warriors.
See, I like veteran. I like veteran players.
I don't think the Warriors came until Andrew Wiggins comes back.
I like veteran players with veteran leadership that has done it before. That's why when I look at teams like a Sacramento, and I did Memphis last year, is because when you have veteran guys that understand what's at stake, it just it's different. You go and you look at Boston last year in the championship just against Golden State, right? It became too much for them. It became too much. Now the next time around, it may be different. But that's how I look at it. When you start talking about certain teams, I'm like, they haven't been in that position before.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, look, KD, Devin Booker, and CP3, if these guys are healthy, will be there knocking on the door as well. And I get championship experience matters. But I'm going to go ahead and say I don't think Golden State's going to be back. Y'all can keep talking about experience. They are 8-29 on the road. This team feels so different. Like it's, and I go back to that Draymond Green, Jordan Poole situation, man. Like this is not Michael Jordan, you know, swinging at Steve Kerr. Like that was the best player on the team. So that energy was set around Michael Jordan. If it was Steph Curry, who's that's not even the energy Steph Curry carries. So now you have Draymond Green, who doesn't know if he's going to be brought back to this team. You have Bob Myers, who doesn't know if he's going to be brought back to this team. And you have a squad. Who knows when Andrew Wiggins is even coming? People forget how critical Andrew Wiggins was to winning a chip last year, man.
Yep.
He was not only a lockdown defender, but he carried a load offensively, too. Like, I do not have Golden State being there when it's all said and done.
But then again, Wiggins is not gone for any kind of physical injury right now. And so it makes you think.
Have you heard anything about Andrew Wiggins?
No, but it makes you think with high stakes, you know, a championship, the whole thing, that if I had to guess, I'm guessing he's back. He's coming back.
Okay.
Physically okay.
It's a guess.
It is a guess.
Whenever I don't know, there's no injury reported, and there's off-the-court things that are happening, I don't know what's happening because nobody from their organization is even mentioning it.
So let's go back to Ja, guys. If Ja gets this rest, and whether or not he has a chip on his shoulder, right? He does have something to prove. Think about it. The guy goes from he might be the face of the NBA one day soon to, oh, my God, Ja just threw it all away, right? but maybe they nipped it in the bud just in time. Not nipped it in the bud, but caught it just in time before it swallowed him, right? Before it sunk him as a potential face of the league. Guys, if Ja comes back, remember they went six games with the Warriors last year in the playoffs, the eventual champions, and Ja was hurt for most of that series. He didn't play. So if Ja comes back and plays the best ball of his career, which is not unlikely given the rest he just had and what he has to prove, could the Memphis Grizzlies potentially go all the way, Jay?
Yeah, they have a legitimate shot. I still worry about their half-court offense that ranks, you know, towards the bottom of the NBA. Because I think when you take them out of transition, their ability to execute, like, they're not the same three-point shooting team they were last year. They lost some critical pieces. Kyle Anderson played a critical role last year making plays for them down the stretch. I still think they are a very, very good team that could win a championship. Ja just needs to be at a different level.
See, they're rounding into form. Grizzlies without Ja Morant this season. The first 11 games they played without them, they were 4-7. This is on ESPNU right now. 4-7. The points per game were under 113. And the point differential, importantly, they were minus 2.5. That's why they lost most of the games. They
Steven Adams out.
Yep.
He needs to come back and play.
Well, but in the last seven games without Ja, they're 6-1. They score almost 120 points a game, and they're plus 6.6 point differential. So the team is also peaking. Ja is rejoining a team that is peaking with him potentially set up to also peak with them.
I agree. I mean, if Steven Adams doesn't come back, we'll see what his status is. Are you trusting Jaren Jackson to stay out of foul trouble? That's been a theme that's followed him a lot throughout the playoffs.
Man, if they go all the way, Jay, and you said there's a chance, right?
Legitimate chance, yeah.
And Ja's the finals MVP.
Are they going to go all the way, Jay?
I don't know. I need to see how seeding ends up. I like to see seeding first.
If Ja wins finals MVP.
Because there's a lot of movement, right?
If Ja wins finals MVP, is he right back where he was in terms of positioning himself to be the face of the league in spite of these problems?
That's a question.
Would that cancel out everything that just happened? Would he be ahead of where he was? I think maybe if he wins finals MVP this year, I'm saying it's a long shot, but it's possible, he might be ahead of where he was even before the trouble. In America, boy, we like winners. We forgive a lot of stuff if you win. Should the NCAA expand the tournament? KJM.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Three at the buzzer, and it's over. K-State beats Kentucky 75-69. The team from the Little Apple is headed to the Big Apple to play in the Sweet 16.
I thought that we could be an NCAA tournament team. That was my goal.
Sound courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Jay, what do you think about the about potentially expanding the tournament?
I hate it. I don't want to expand it. Please don't. Like it's 68 teams. So
yeah, they already expanded.
They already expanded it. You know, like we have play-in games now to get you into the field. So at the end of the day, like it's not like the CFP, right? Where it's like, oh, we're going to expand it from four to potentially 8 to 16.
I don't even like that.
That's better in football.
It's too much. I think that first weekend of the tournament is so good. I think it is the perfect vehicle, and I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, they should leave it alone. It's been that way. Leave it alone. It's enough teams. I mean, how many more upset-type programs you want to see in there? Low-level programs. And it just – nah, you leave it where it's at.
I mean, one of the rules that should change, though, is like – I'll give you an example. Like FDU, obviously, FDU didn't even win their conference. So, you got some conferences that if you win the conference, you get the automatic bid.
Automatic bid,
and others, say if you win the regular season, Ivy League, you win the regular season, even though that's changed, you get the automatic bid. So, I think uniformity across the level about what gives you the automatic bid is more of the conversation.
You know, it's – exclusion is the point. That's the point. These are the best teams in the nation competing, and there are already a lot of them. What is the point in expanding it? I agree. Just to dilute it. I suppose – the argument would be that because of the format, and we're seeing 16-1 in this tournament early and 15-2s and stuff like that, that it is possible even for the lesser teams to, even if they don't go out, to go on a little run and add to the excitement. I think it's pretty good as it is. I know, Key, you say in football you want them to expand it.
Football needs to expand. Yeah,
I don't think so. I like the fact that it's a double elimination tournament all year.
No, four teams is not enough in the final.
But once
four.
You expand it, Key, you yeah. lose the regular season. Like right now, yeah. right now, week you one. If you, you lose use the, week you one lose in college football, season. It might be over for you.
Depending on what program you are. See, if you Alabama, you lose week one, it's not over for you.
Not yeah, right, right. But if you Ole Miss tournament,
but if you Ole Miss and you lose week one. It's over for you. But if you lose, if you Ole Miss on the new, if they change it and you Ole Miss and you lose week two, you got all day long to get back in.
But this is the problem, Key. Even if you're Alabama, you lose once, you might still do it. You lose twice, it's a wrap. If you expand the playoffs and you lose twice, you're still in it. So now what you've done is you've lowered the importance of the regular season.
If you are Alabama, for instance, and you lose twice, that means you lost to two hell of a teams.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? You didn't lose. It wasn't like you lost to Rice. You really lost to some stuff.
All right, listen. We have Jerome Tang right now.
So they were talking about expanding to 90 teams.
That's too much. Kansas State head coach, Big 12 coach of the year with us now. Morning, coach.
Good morning. How we doing, fellas?
What's happening, coach? Jerome?
Congratulations on everything, man.
Thank you very much.
So, Coach, we were just talking about it before you jumped on. What do you say to those who want to expand this field beyond 68 teams at this point?
I'm all about it. And I'm just telling you, it is so hard to get into the tournament. And I mean, if you look at college football, darn near every team gets to play in a bowl game. And coaches get to keep their jobs. And a lot of guys win and get jobs and lose jobs simply about getting to the tournament or any success in the tournament. And it's such a hard criteria because there's 363 teams playing college basketball. It's not like 120 in college football, you know. So I'm all about it, man. You know, one more game, one more round, you know, dudes get another couple of years on their contract. And because given enough time, coaches will be successful given enough time because, I mean, we're pretty good at what we do.
Big 12 Coach of the Year, Jerome Tang from Kansas State, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, I wanted to ask you, so obviously you guys played an incredible game against Kansas. You guys were able to get to the Sweet 16. There are a lot of other reasons why your team should have been going viral, but I saw a video of you going viral talking about Kentucky, saying that we have more dudes than them. Can you just further expound upon that? I mean, you do have more dudes in Kentucky. You guys are more together. Why was everybody making that such a big thing?
Too many times I think people get labeled or judged based on the name on the front of the jersey and not on the individual inside of the jersey. And, there's a reason that two of my guys made All-American teams this year. And I don't know if there's another team in the country that had and I think they were both second or third team All-Americans. So, you know, at the end of the game, if the game is close, as a coach, I feel really good because I got two of the five best players on the floor. And, you know, that's just – so I didn't – this wasn't an offense to anybody else, but after a big win, I didn't want to talk about another program. I wanted to talk about the Kansas State Wildcats. And so, you know, if I offended anybody, you know, I apologize, but I was going to stand up for my guys because I really believe that if we were wearing a different uniform with a different name on it, people would have different thoughts about the guys in the uniform.
Mm-hmm. Coach, how's
this journey been for you in the team?
Oh, man, it's been incredible, man. Incredible. You know, I, when I got the job, it was almost a year ago to the day, I told them, hey, you know, we were going to win, and it wasn't going to take long, and we just need to buy in. If everybody bought in, everybody did their part, and some guys decided that their part was to leave, and two guys, Ish Masood and Marquise Noel, decided they wanted to stay. And, man, I'm so thankful those guys chose to stay because they helped recruit the rest of the team, and we found guys that had winning in their DNA. And you know how both you guys have won at a high level, and you understand that when you win at a high level, you understand there are sacrifices that have to be made. You know, and these guys understand there are sacrifices every day that have to be made. And just to watch them grow and come together, the whole team, and to see the chemistry that they have, I'm just so blessed, man. God, I can't thank the good Lord enough for this opportunity. And at this university and for this fan base and to work with these young men.
Jerome Tang, Kansas State head coach, Big 12 coach of the year. Before we let you go, coach, what problems does a Tom Izzo Michigan State team present?
Well, you know, Coach Izzo, first of all, is just a terrific human being. He's always treated me terrific as an assistant. And that says a lot when there's a Hall of Fame guy out there that, I mean, he knows an assistant coach's name. You know, that tells a lot about him as a person. And his teams have always been tough and gritty. They just personify who he is as a person. I remember as a high school coach, I would do blockout drills with football helmets and shoulder pads because I saw Tom Izzo did that. You know what I mean? Like that toughness, that grit. And this group of guys have really embodied that for him. And in the NCAA tournament, you know, refs, they let you play, right? Because people don't turn on TVs to watch them blow the whistle. And so his physical team, the way they bump every cutter and, you know, challenge every pass, they contest every shot. You know, you're going to get hit multiple times every possession. You know, that's just – it fits into the NCAA tournament. That's why he's been so successful, because his guys are prepared to win games at this time of year. But we play in the best conference in America, the Big 12, and every game, every night is like that. And so our guys are well-prepared for the battle that's in front of them.
Thank you, Coach, and best of luck.
Good luck to you, Coach.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jay.
You got it, man.
Hey, guys, will the one-and-done rule in the NBA be done soon? KJM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We are pleased to welcome NBA PA Executive Director Tamika Tramaglio. Pardon me, Tamika. Both the NBA and NBPA can opt out of the current labor deal before the March 31st deadline, a deadline that's already been pushed back twice. The CBA will expire on June 30 if either side opts out. Otherwise, it will run through the 2023-24 seasons. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning.
Morning, Tamika. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you see as the most important goals in negotiating any new collective bargaining agreement and more broadly in leading the NBPA?
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on the show today. I really appreciate it. It is so exciting to be here in spite of it being, you know, 8:30 in the morning. I'm grateful for this opportunity. First, as you all know, and I've talked about this quite a bit over the last year, that we really are focused on three things. Of course, the future of basketball, the development and protection of our players, and then fairness and equity. And with the future of basketball, we are looking at what business opportunities there are for our players. What are things that we should be keeping top of mind? How are we looking at emerging technologies, emerging markets? When we look at the development and protection, the safety of our players, that's our number one priority, right, is to get them on the court in a way that's healthy and safe for them. And then finally, we want to make sure that there's fairness and equity. We want to make sure that, you know, as we're looking at all of the things that are happening in the league, that we're looking at what is happening for our players specifically, and that is in line and priority is paid attention to as in terms of what the player can receive, what the league, what the governors are receiving.
Tamika, when you talk about those expanding opportunities business-wise, you and I have had conversations about this before in the past, you know, more participation alongside owners in emerging markets, like you said, like how do you create an environment that is more conducive to having athletes being able to invest next to owners as they get deal flow that, frankly, nobody else in the world is allowed to look at?
Yeah, no, and it's a great point, and thank you, Jay. And we have had conversations about this because I think we share the same spirit in terms of, you know, the ability to invest. And our players, quite frankly, are entrepreneurs. That's the one thing that I think is lost so often, is that our players are more than just basketball players. Obviously, they are exceptional. They are the best in the world. But they also have other businesses, and they're focused on entrepreneurial skills and things that they can do to generate additional business. And when they're looking at the governors, many of whom they really look up to around investments and how do you invest in emerging technologies, how can we, you know, be a part of the share of the pie? How are we growing the pie, not only when we're playing the game and being on the court, but what happens when we're off the court? How can we continue to create generational wealth? And so when they looked at hiring me, one of the things that they were looking at is future generational wealth. How are we looking beyond the court? How are we looking off the court? How are we going to make an impact in ways that really matter as we go past, you know, the five or so average years that they'll be playing basketball?
Tamika, as you continue to work on this new CBA deal in trying to figure out how to maximize certain things, incentivizing certain things for players to play in the regular season because of the importance of not only the league but the players as well in the media rights deals and things of that nature when players are, you know, resting up their bodies and you hear all the complaints from different people about they should be on the court, not sitting on the sidelines. How do you envision getting this kind of across to the league as well as the players and closing this deal?
Yeah, so as you just mentioned, it is incredibly complex, right? You know, there's obviously this focus on fairness and equity. And, you know, specifically as you talk about load management, I guess it's important to make the distinction between load management and injury management, right? Obviously, we're keeping it as a priority, the health and safety of our players. So you've got to look at things from an injury perspective as well. But in general, as we look at load management, the reason why it is such a complex issue is because there are so many stakeholders. You know, we are there to play the game, and we're excited to see our fans, and we want our fans to be engaged. So we've got to look at it from the perspective of the fans and their expectations and how are we meeting their expectations. We also have to look at it in terms of the team and their overall objective and how do they get to the things that they want to get accomplished while also managing our players. We, as clearly a priority for us is the health and safety. So how do you look at health and safety as it relates to the team, to the governors, to the fans, you know, All of those things play such a huge component in this, and it's a complex issue. But we are always focused on what's fair, what's equitable, and figuring out sort of how this mosaic is going to work out such that it's beneficial for everyone.
Talking to Tomiko Tremaglio, MBPA Executive Director, Development and Protection of Players, right? Growing the whole of the membership, you know, beyond their time on the court, you say is important. Working to increase player security and all this. What else?
Well, you know, in addition to that, obviously, we are looking at the business opportunity. So when you talk about the emerging markets, you know, there are so many new things that our players can get engaged in. And they're, you know, incredibly well-read. They're looking out in the marketplace. They're determining what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And so we want to make sure that that's available to them. The collective bargaining agreement covers so much. I think it's sort of lost on many that it is just a finite issue looking at salary. The reality is it covers everything in our game. It's over 500 pages. We've made hundreds of proposals. The league has made hundreds of proposals. So there is so much to it. So we are considering everything, and we want to make sure nothing is left on the table. So all of those things are priorities to not only our governors or players, you know, whether we're looking at them as their rookies, as they're entering the league, or we're looking at our veteran players. Everybody's impacted by the CBA.
Tomiko, now to the fun stuff. From Uncle's Tire Shop to Executive Director of the MBPA, what did you learn when you were younger working in the tire shop with your uncle, and I'm assuming probably helping change a little tires here and there, that you carry with you today as you're the director in the MBPA?
Well, it's funny that you would say that. He would laugh at the thought of me changing a tire, but I was always behind the register because, quite frankly, I was always sort of fascinated with money and how things worked. And, you know, so that was always a priority to me. But he also, I think they really taught me to be a servant leader, that we are here to serve. And in this role in particular, I get that opportunity each and every day. You know, honestly, I appreciate that everybody doesn't get the opportunity to serve sort of the best players in the world, and so that's a privilege for me. But I learned that it doesn't matter who it is. It's so important that we are in a position where we're bringing other people up and that we are serving others. And so that's what I look at as sort of my North Star every single day. So they say, you know what you're going to do at the age of five. I think that was true for me, even running behind the tire shop and getting a little dirty. I wouldn't say changing a tire, but certainly getting dirty. So I'm right now getting pretty dirty.
Tomiko, what kind of mechanisms are you guys putting in place as relates to the MBPA for when the draft reverts back to being 18 years old in 2024 to really ensure that young people, when they come to the league, that they have every possibility to be as successful as possible?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a really great question, and I do just want to remind everyone we have not come to that agreement as of yet with regards to the age 18. We are, you know, it is something that is on the table and that we are certainly considering. But for us, again, what we really want is players that are going to be successful in the game, right? And so our players have made it a priority. Our executive committee, is led by C.J. McCollum, is very focused on how do we make sure that they're successful in this league. And part of them being successful is learning from others. And having our veteran players a part of that is significant for us. So we not only want to get them here, because certainly freedom of movement and having our players be able to make a choice and join the league at 18 is a phenomenal thing for everyone. But the reality is we want to make sure that they're successful when they are part of the teams. And having our veteran players a part of that is significant. Every single one of our players talks about the importance of having veterans when they were here and how much they learned from them, because it is not just on the court. It is also all of the things that come with this, you know, sort of coming into this position, coming into a league, being in doing something that you've never done before. You really need that mature insight to make sure that you're successful for the long run. And we're here for the long run, where we want to make sure that our players are successful.
Tomiko, obviously there's a history of NBA players, 90s, as it relates to guns and things of that sort. And we've had the Ja Morant situation that has occurred. I'm just curious, like, does the MBPA provide players, and this is more the ignorance on my part, so I'm asking openly now, you know, with like a vetted list of security individuals that they can then hire from. So, you know, because players shouldn't be carrying guns on them anyway at all. They should have protective services in place. Do you guys provide any kind of vet or, you know, thorough investigation to who people are that are qualified to protect these young individuals when they're out and about?
Yeah, so, you know, it is obviously a great question. And, you know, certainly we don't comment on the specific player matters. Yes. But what I will say is that, you know, as a union, we are there to make sure that we're protecting them. And, you know, I know that Ja in particular has said that he's sorry to his family, teammates, coaches, fans, Memphis, you know, Grizzlies organization. And I know that he has appreciated this as a learning opportunity, right? And he's taking the time that he needed to work on himself. We're excited to see him back. I spoke to him last night and he talked about, you know, how excited he was to be back on the court, how excited he was the other night to be in the arena. So I think that it is a great thing. But yes, you know, we have mental health, you know, doctors here within the union that we use that are talking to our players on a constant basis. We have our player representatives. So we are wrapping our arms around them for certain to make sure that they are protected. And obviously things like that are going to happen. But what we are here to do is to help to get them past those experiences and to become better people as a result of them.
Tamika Tramaglio, I apologize for the second time, NBPA Executive Director. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Tamika. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. Thanks so much.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So, a couple of things, guys. I don't know how much people really have to say about it at this point. Willis Reed passed yesterday. He was, you know, like I missed that entire era. I was born right after the Willis Reed, Clyde Frazier era. But in this town, in New York City, that was a big deal. You know, Willis Reed was a great player who was the, you know, heart and soul of two champion of a team that wound up winning two championships. And his limping out onto the court against the Lakers and Wilt Chamberlain and was inspirational to a team. Hit a couple of jump shots and then really Clyde Frazier took over. But it was, you know, the as much of a symbol of that team in New York as anyone. And his passing is obviously a big deal in the history of the Knicks franchise. He did that against the Lakers, by the way. And the Lakers have continued to be a big deal basically every year since, right? LeBron James is coming back. How do they, Jay, do you think?
Yep. Can I say something about Willis Reed?
Please, yeah.
I read an article, it's about 6 or 7 years ago, and there's a story that really stuck with me about Willis Reed just being the consummate professional, right? So Clyde Frazier obviously was his rookie when he was playing. And, you know, back in the day, while the NBA was trying to promote itself, they did a lot more grassroots marketing style, right? So the NBA would always send a lot of their players out to different camps to go spend time with kids, especially in their regions, right, geographical regions. So New York, going out, spending time with camps of kids. And the one director of the camp was saying how, you know, this is our camp. These are all the kids participating. And he's like, well, you guys have some sick kids here who caught flus, things of that sort. Where are they staying at? And Willis Reed was like, hey, I want to go spend time with them. So players had to sleep over at the camps back then for a couple of days, right? So, you know, Willis Reed, you have Clyde Frazier sleeping together in one of these cabins, spending time with the sick kids. Like, imagine that as Clyde Frazier, who obviously then took on the torch for Willis Reed. But having that as the leader, somebody that you get a chance to spend time with, and Clyde has obviously lived his life always giving back to the community as well. And when you hear stories, we're always obviously going to talk about things on the court and how much he's meant to organizations in the game of basketball. But when you hear stories about Willis Reed as the human being, spending time with kids and thinking about, look, I want to spend time with the kids who are sick, who came and participated at the camp. Like, to me, those kind of stories epitomize who people are, regardless of how to deal with the fame or the attention that comes along with the sport. And then to see Clyde Frazier be another representation of that, I still find that story resonating with me today, 7 years later.
Yeah, he was one of the all-time great centers, for kids who don't know, came along before the heavily covered era of the NBA, but was an all-time great, you know. And also went on to great success in the front office and was on a team, those Knicks teams, like all those guys went on to do incredible things. Bill Bradley ran for president, right? Clyde Frazier is still known in popular culture and as a broadcaster. And, you know, everywhere you looked, there was a guy doing something, and Willis Reed was their leader. At any rate, I mentioned the Lakers because their greatest – their championships came. The Knicks, those Knicks teams in 69, 70, and 72, 73 came against – the Lakers of Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain. LeBron James in Lakers history is more like a Wilt Chamberlain, say, than a Kobe Bryant or Magic Johnson. In other words, one of the all-time greats, one of the physically just dominant, like incredible players who toward the end of his career was still good enough to chip up with L.A. How do the Lakers integrate him when he comes back?
He comes off the bench. He's on a minute restriction, comes off the bench. And I'm not saying he's going to play the rest of the games, depending upon when he comes back. He's scheduled now to come back during the last week of the regular season. So that gives you two games, three games. I have him come off the bench because I think right now the biggest question is the ball's in the hands of Austin Reeves. The ball's in the hands of D'Angelo Russell, right? So all of a sudden, you need those guys to play and continue to play at a high level. So I think for LeBron, you get the ball, go in transition, use him as a screener, but the offense can't revert back to everybody standing around and watching LeBron James. The more you can keep him active and moving within the offense as you rev up the offense, because obviously when you get to play a basketball, a lot of things are going to be centered around him, but you have to find that groove, because I do believe if he could find that groove with the ball in his hands later in the playoffs, that's when the team has a chance to be its best version of itself.
Key, what do you think?
We got to get in the playoffs first, though, Jay, right?
You may have four games, including the play-in tournament, to get you there, to get him the reps too as well.
Let's say they do get in, Key. What do you need to see here toward the end of the season from LeBron to make you think you can actually make a run?
Well, one, you got to stay healthy. I want to make sure that he stays healthy. I don't want to see any limping around, none of that sort of stuff. But just being able to be himself when he's out on the floor, if he's coming off the bench, be the engine, be the guy when you get those – 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, right. You got to integrate him, but it's going to be interesting because they have the right pieces around him now, it seems, if everyone can stay healthy. By the way, are Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum heading for a split? Does this mean it's do or die right now for the Celtics? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.